When Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker was first performed at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg in 1892, it got bad reviews. The score was praised, but the dancing was panned. There have been countless productions since the 19th century, but it wasn't until 1954 when the New York City Ballet mounted its production with choreography by George Balanchine that the ballet began to become a Christmas tradition across the United States. A new version by the American Ballet Theater will receive its world premiere on December 23rd at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. It features choreography by Alexei Ratmansky and scenery and costumes by Richard Hudson. And I'm very pleased that it brings Richard Hudson to our show, along with two of the principal dancers, Gillian Murphy, who plays Clara, and David Hallberg, who plays the Nutcracker Prince. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank pleasure.
Gillian, isn't the story of the Nutcracker based on a tale by E.T.A. Hoffman, Tales of Hoffman?
Yes.
So how much difference is there in the various versions of the ballet? Do they tend, unless you're Mark Morris, to pretty much stick to the original story?
There are a number of classic versions, and this version we're about to do has a few surprises, but is based on more classic interpretation.
Mm-hmm. But not the Balanchine version.
The Balanchine version is different from ours, yes.
What's it like to work on an old favorite? Is it comforting to be part of a tradition or scary to be doing something new with it?
I have to say that I have unbelievable childhood memories from The Nutcracker. It's definitely a workhorse of the ballet world, but the music, I don't know, it's like putting on an old coat, you know, kind of, it feels good. And doing something different to the music that is so familiar is inspiring, really.
Well, David, haven't you been in the Nutcracker before, but in a different role?
I've done almost everything in the Nutcracker, to be quite honest.
Start off as one of the kids?
As one of the kids, as the Nutcracker general in the battle scene, Candy Cane. I was a rat, the whole nine yards.
And Gillian, you too?
Yes, I started out as an angel, moved on to Clara, and then I've been dancing the Sugar Plum for many years now. And with this production, I will be dancing Clara once again.
Well, isn't part of the problem that many people in the audience will have seen other Nutcrackers and already have a preconceived notion of how it should be performed, Richard?
Yes, I'm sure they have. And actually, in preparation for this production, I have to admit I watched a lot of DVDs of Nutcrackers from around the world.
Because you didn't want to do the exact same thing, but you didn't want to deviate too much?
I guess that, but also what was interesting was all the variety, actually. No two were the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Nutcracker's not quite so much of a tradition in the UK, where I come from. I mean, of course, the Royal Ballet have their production and the Birmingham Royal Ballet. And I think London Festival Ballet have just opened a new production.
David, you studied at the Paris Opera Ballet, didn't you?
I did, correct.
Is Nutcracker a holiday tradition in Europe?
It's not. It's viewed mainly as Swan Lake is viewed, or La Bayadere, or one of the big classics. They see it as one of the big classics, and for us in America, it really is a Christmas tradition. It's really become an annual thing.
But not in Europe, isn't that?
Yeah, it's fascinating. But
it is about Christmas, isn't it?
It is about Christmas, which, interestingly enough, I was in Australia in September dancing the Nutcracker.
In September?
Yeah, at the Australian Ballet. And at first I was like, oh, that's going to be a little weird, you know, going down to Australia and doing the Nutcracker that time of year. But they really view it as just, you know, a ballet like Swan Lake.
Is it, can you just go from company to company? Did they expect different techniques applied in Paris or where have you worked, Gillian?
There'll be different choreography for each production.
Yeah, well, ABT has done, this is the third version
exactly
of the Nutcracker for the ABT.
Yes.
Richard, you designed the costumes and the sets. Isn't that rather unusual to do both in a production?
It's not unusual in Europe. Quite a lot of European designers do both. And I must say I prefer doing both. It's only on very few occasions where I've done one or the other. I find that if I don't design the costumes, I never really get to know the company. As a set designer, you're sort of one step removed. You don't meet everybody personally.
And it is interesting. Sometimes you do feel that the costumes and the sets are clashing because there are two different aesthetics at work.
That does happen sometimes. I find it very difficult to design the costumes until I've finished designing the set. It's like I want to do the set and then I populate it.
And you said that you looked at many different Nutcrackers. What's different about yours?
You have to come and see it.
Yeah. I was inspired by, I was working in Vienna a couple of years ago, and I went to an exhibition at the Albertina Museum of Biedermeier, that period, that early 19th century, particularly Austrian period. And they had clothes and furniture, wallpaper, everything. And what really amazed me were the colors, these absolutely astonishing colors that I'd never imagined anybody used or could indeed make in the early 19th century. So I was inspired by that. And I think apart from anything else, our production is very colorful.
David and Jillian, both of you have performed in other Tchaikovsky works in the past. Does his music demand something different than, let's say, performing something by Stravinsky?
Most definitely. I mean, I'm a fan of both. I have to say, watching Alexei choreograph to music that all of us have heard so much, he really breathes new life into the musicality. He's such an unbelievably musical choreographer, but he takes kind of the undercurrents of the orchestrations. He takes maybe the winds that you don't hear so blatantly, or the downbeat of something, and he really envisions something that you realize wasn't happening. Sometimes you take on the melody or whatever, but he's taking something completely different of a score that you just hear over and over.
It's so fulfilling as a dancer to just be swept away by that music and such musical choreography.
Well, modern dance is often performed to recorded music, tape music, but with ballet, almost invariably there's a live orchestra, which would mean that every night changes a little bit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's part of the magic. Fun? It's just awesome.
And you never get bored or come to hate this music?
You know, some people would say that, yes. But, you know, I have to say, when you're dancing the Grand Pas de Deux in Act Two, I tell this to Jillian almost every time we're about to start. I just look at her and say, this music is unbelievable.
It's true.
Jillian, didn't you study with Melissa Hayden, who is one of Balanchine's ballerinas?
I did.
And you performed the Nutcracker as a student of hers?
Yes. I trained at the North Carolina School of the Arts with her, and she was a mentor to me and continues to be an inspiration.
So did you learn the Balanchine choreography then?
I actually learned a fairly classic version when I was down there.
So what happens? Do you have to unlearn?
No.
Because there is a certain kind of a body knowledge that the music comes on and
most definitely.
I think we just keep adding layers, and when you're in the moment, you know which version you're doing. So it's just another way of responding to the music and expressing the character and the story.
Richard, you're a royal designer for industry. What is that?
It's something that was founded in the 1930s there's an institution in London called the Royal Society of Arts, and they have a faculty within that institution called RDIs, Royal Designers for Industry. And what's fascinating about it is that you can be a designer of anything. I mean, you know, you could design battleships or something. And if you're at the top of your league, you might well be awarded an RDI. And it's a great honor.
Well, there was a time when designers designed locomotives and dishes and everything in between. That was considered part of, at least in the 30s, that was considered what designing was all about. Now, have we become too specialized, do you think?
Well, there's so much competition, I suppose. Now there are so many art schools and so many graduates every year, and you can't do everything. I guess in order to succeed, you need to perhaps try to excel in one discipline.
Are there special problems of designing costumes for dancers? Would it be different than if you were designing costumes for an opera or a straight play?
Yes, of course there are. But I've been fortunate with this project of working with the Barbara Matera Costume Workshop, where they have been making costumes for ballet for years, and they know all the tricks. And they've taught me all sorts of things about sleeves and trousers, you know, pants which are too tight. They know everything about making a costume that dancers can dance in.
Well, you've done a lot of wild things. I mean, didn't you design the sets for The Lion King?
I did design the sets for The Lion King.
So after that, I would imagine anything is possible. And here you're working with Jennifer Tipton, the Broadway legend, lighting designer.
Which I'm delighted about. I first worked with Jennifer, in fact, on Broadway, with a play called La Bête, which has just been revived.
You did the original La Bête?
Yes, that was 20 years ago.
And now it's a huge hit. It wasn't a hit the first time.
It wasn't a hit then.
Well, it was all your fault.
Famous flop.
Trying to find out who was at fault because it's a terrific play.
Yeah, it is.
Jillian and David, the reviews of the first production of The Nutcracker in St. Petersburg, as I said earlier, were disastrous. They complained about the use of children in the cast. Well, you know, that's part of the tradition, isn't it? I'm assuming there
Absolutely.
Are children in the ABT
There are
production.
Many children, and we were just talking earlier. They're really incredible, so talented and well-behaved and brilliant little actors and actresses.
Where do they come from?
Most of them, I believe, are in the ABT JKO school.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, in rehearsals, at least I am, as a professional, learning quite a great deal from the young kids, because they're being coached by Alexei as well, and they're so open to correction and suggestion and interpretation, and really all of their reactions are so natural. They're so innocent. They're so spontaneous, really.
And that's something that you lose
as you become? You don't lose, but, you know, as a professional, you're constantly questioning. You're constantly critiquing yourself.
You can overanalyze a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, and what I've noticed in these kids is just this life that they have, this innocence, this, you know, beauty of youth almost. It's really nice to see.
The Nutcracker Prince, Clara, and the Sugar Plum Fairy will be in costume to ring the opening bell at NASDAQ tomorrow morning at 9:30. That means you, Jillian?
I think that means somebody else, actually, because there's going to be a little Clara, and then she'll transform into the more mature Clara, who's me. And I actually won't be there for the opening bell tomorrow.
What about you, David?
I won't be there. I have a morning class to attend to, so
I think there'll be a rat there.
But this is it is interesting that dancers, even when they're featured dancers, continue to go to class.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When does that end?
That never ends. When we retire.
But then you teach classes.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people who don't really know dance that well just ask, don't you have it right yet? You know, why are you always going to class? But it's the daily ritual, you know.
Constant conditioning.
It's about conditioning? It isn't just performing conditioning in itself?
No. Well, performance, the way I view it, is the final product. The conditioning is really the day in, day out kind of boring. It can get really, you know, boring everyday exercises, but it has to be done, you know?
Well, luckily, Richard, you don't have to go to class.
That's true, but I do love watching it.
My great thanks to the three of you for being on our show. Richard Hudson is the scenic and costume designer for a new production of The Nutcracker, which features choreography by Alexei Ratmansky, the great choreographer, and has David Hallberg as the Nutcracker Prince and Gillian Murphy as Clara. And they will be starting performances at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in the Opera House on December 23rd, which is just 2 days from now, right? And this is a world premiere?
Yes.
It is.
How long are you running?
We are running for 16 performances until January 2nd.
Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. A pleasure.